Welcome back, everybody, to iCast. We're just shucking and moving, and we've got one of our good friends at the Bass University, one of our boys, Cliff Crochet, Cajun baby. How are you, man?
Life is good.
It's always good, isn't it?
Even if it ain't good, I just see it in.
That's where you got to start.
That's right.
You got to see to be it.
Fake it till you make it.
Well, we got the Bass University on Cliff's jersey this year, and we're awful proud to have him out representing the Bass University out on tour, getting us a little love on Bassmaster Live this year.
Yeah. Let me tell you the secret about Bass University, and maybe people don't get just yet. Bass University is the only place where people are honest as far as instructors. you get stuff at a Bass U that
you're not going to hear out on tour.
Yeah. So for some reason, I guess my buddies don't think we go back and watch. I guess they don't think. Like, I sit in on the seminars when I'm not on. I sit in. And you see them talking, and they kind of look in the back, and they see you in the back, and they're like, wish I wouldn't say that. I wish I didn't have to. Or I wish, you know, he wasn't here listening, but. Oh, well, so
our speakers give love to the students. They shoot them straight, and it's really awesome that they all do that. I remember I sat in on a seminar where Ish was speaking. Me and Mike were there at that one. It was me, Ish, and Mike that day, and Ish is up. He's about to lay it out on some of his flipping techniques, I guess it was, and he's like, all right, I'm done talking until Pete and Mike leave the room. Kicked us out of our own classroom.
Which is ridiculous, Ashama, because we can go back and watch it.
We can go back and watch it now. I guess he didn't see the camera sitting back there.
Who knows?
You guys have seen it all, and you've seen Cajun's stuff. You got a great insight on fish behavior, fishing strategies. You're putting it to work out on the Elite Tour. Like I said, we've seen you on Bassmaster Live. It's great to see you doing that, catching the big bags. Doing well, man.
Power fishing.
Loving it. And you got a couple tournaments left. Got some power fishing to do.
Yeah. Next week or 2 weeks from now is the Chesapeake Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that place is I want to say weird, but it's interesting. It's they live there. It's a tidal place. So if you can find and make it be a trip of a lifetime or a tournament, you know, can really be a milestone in your career. But it's tough. It is tidal, which is, it could be the downside to it. Or if you miss that area, it can be tough or you get a lot of pressure. So that place is it's almost like a dream come true, could be. And it's also, could be your worst nightmare.
Well, we saw Ike have his worst nightmare on the last time you were there, and Ike has done well there and knows that place as well as anybody in the whole region. And he struggled last time.
If Mike fishes my patch of reeds,
yeah,
we're going to have problems, Pete.
I know your patch of reeds. You told me about your patch of reeds.
I would actually, the rules we have kind of, restrain us. I won't ask if you have you caught any of those off of that patch.
And I won't say.
But you can't tell me.
I can't tell you other than I have fished it. I have fished it a number of times. Cliff fished there and told me about this patch of reeds the last time that they were there. But it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's got big fish. It fished, I'll be honest, it challenged you guys last time. The fishing was difficult in August. I'm optimistic that July is going to bring a little bit better conditions for you guys.
The big wild card, or I guess the elephant in the room at the Chesapeake Bay, is the flat.
Yes.
Or flats.
Yep.
Or flat, whatever. That whole area.
The flats. Susquehanna flats.
Yes. That area is known. That's kind of like a 6 mile Toledo Bend.
Yep.
It's kind of like a housing Toledo Bend.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey Box.
Yeah.
Okeechobee.
That's right.
That place is known throughout bass fishing. Last time it didn't play at all, or very little.
Mm-hmm.
It would be to see if that area plays is like the big, it's what everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
Because we've all heard stories of 20, 25 pound bags frogging on cheese on the flats.
Yep.
Or, buzz baits or whatever. If that plays, wow, it's great.
Right.
If it don't, You saw it last time. I mean, what Aaron and Bill, you know, kind of ran away with it. Everybody else was struggling to catch 8 pounds.
Yep. And that's funny. I told everybody, I would have told Aaron, don't go there. You can never win a tournament there. And he sure enough went to a place that I never thought had the potential.
That's what's with fishing. Sometimes a fresh set of eyes,
yeah,
is better than anything.
That's the truth.
Better than experience or knowledge of that place. A fresh set of eyes sees things different from other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going to see the river or Chesapeake Bay different than you will. And you can see the Chaffee Basin different than I will. And sometimes a fresh set of eyes brings a place to life.
And we teach it to fish the moment, and we talk about it. It's hard to do.
It is hard. I, like for me, I know Chaffee Basin, for example, is a bunch of dead ends and bayous and, you know, man-made stuff and,
mm-hmm,
and natural swamp. But there's some places I know of. There's some little canals or whatever. I've never fished. I've been in Chaffee Basin since I was 2 years old. Been fishing since I was 10. And there's certain places I have never fished ever just because you don't fish them.
Yeah.
And there's other places that you go to every time, and if they biting in that one place, oh, it's great. The world is awesome. You know, Chaffee Basin's on fire.
Right.
If they're not biting in that one place,
it's tough.
Oh, it sucks. Yeah, it's tough. I don't know what's wrong with it. There's not a fish left. Maybe we need a trade.
That would be nice.
I'll go up in your neck of the woods, fresh eyes, maybe show you something that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to my house, show me something that I can't see. Might get on some new fish. Who knows?
Might get on some new fish. I love it down there. I fished, I never fished Chaffee, but I fished down there at Bayou Signet and fished out of the, you know, southern Louisiana. Man, it's like a, for me, it was like the moon. Like, I had never seen habitat like that and alligators everywhere. And
it's endless, too.
It goes on. You run for 2 hours and fish infinite canals and lakes. And it's all 2 foot deep, and it just goes on for miles.
Yeah, that's not much deep cranking or
no
spoon fishing. South Louisiana.
No, not much.
It's good saltwater fishing.
A lot of redfish.
Redfish, speckled trout. Hell, you can catch anything out of, you talk about bias signet. You can catch everything from bass and brim to redfish, speckled trout. If you keep going, you can catch marlin and tuna, whatever they, red snapper, whatever they got in the Gulf. All out of the same boat ramp.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. You won't see that. You won't see that up at the Chesapeake, you know, because you get, well, you could see it if you go down far enough, but we got bluefish and we got some saltwater fish, but they don't intermingle with the bass like they do down there. But down there, you're not deep cranking. Down there, you're shallow cranking.
Shallow cranking.
And you got a few things here on Show and Tell. Why don't you lay it on me? We got a deuce rod.
We got a deuce rod.
Let's start there.
All right.
Talk to me. This is your new series.
Yeah, deuce rods is it was a cool deal. Deuce rods let me go in and build a series of rods that I wanted. That I want exactly how I want it. Actions, lengths, weights, everything, which is pretty cool. Kind of ruin it for some people. A lot of signature series are not really a signature series.
Yeah.
They just kind of slap somebody's name on it.
What?
And sell it. Imagine
that.
No,
that's not true. Is that true?
Sometimes. But in this one, they really gave me the freedom to do what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome.
So I have six rods in that series. Mm-hmm. I got a punching rod, 7'8" punching rod. And 2 7'6" flipping rods. The flipping rods, I built one around braid, which is a more moderate action, 7'6", for braid fishing. And I have another 7'6", which is more of a faster tip for monofilament fluorocarbon flipping.
Right.
So I got all my flipping stuff done there. A cool thing on my flipping rods is we balance the blank out. So and we distributed that weight from the butt up. You know, up to this area of the rod, as opposed to the old school way of counterbalancing, where you put all the weight back here and it makes it heavy.
Right.
You know, physically heavy. You got a light tip, but you got a physical heavy rod. So what we did was we put material all through this area to balance the blank
mm-hmm.
to get a light tip, better performance. That's on the flipping rods. Another thing I did on all of them was I put a double nut reel seat because everybody's missed fish. Because
that reel jumps out of there.
That reel jump. That reel will jump between boat waves and highway. No,
I've had that happen.
Whatever. And you don't never. It's never loose until you set the hook.
Man, you know what he's talking about. Your reel sits here, and you get a big fish on. And this backs off sometimes, and your reel will pop out. And I've had it happen where my reel pops out. It's on the floor. 4 pounders out on the other end of the line.
It's never a 12-incher.
Never.
It's always a game changer.
Right. It's a game changer because it's got to be a big enough body mass to pull it out of there. And you're trying to hand – you put this in between your legs. You try to hand line the fish.
He's jumping.
In. So you solved that problem.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I solved it, but I did the best I could to keep me out of that situation. One-piece reel seat on all my rods was a big deal because I don't want that reel flexing on me. I don't want that reel seat. There's nothing – there's nothing worse than having that reel twist on you on your rod as you're fighting a fish. Over the years, I've tried different reel seats to make my rod lighter and more sensitive, and so forth on. But when you get that rod binded up, that reel on a smaller reel seat, that reel wants to turn.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm feeling the reel turn and fighting the fish, and it just don't work. And so what for me personally, a good solid one-piece reel seat does the best. It may not be the sexiest thing or the prettiest thing, but that's what gets it done. So that's what I put on it. I got a blank through reel seat.
Mm-hmm.
So this blank's coming through, more sensitive. That's what I like. Cork handle. I love cork. I don't know. That's just what I like, so I like it. No hook keeper anywhere on the rod. It gets in the way for me.
It does a lot of times. So line will get caught on there, so it's annoying.
Another interesting thing on our rods, all our rods that do, is it's spiral wrapped. So the first eye is on the top, second one shifts over, third one shifts over, until the eye is on the bottom of the rod.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a cool deal. It's been around forever. In the custom world, mm-hmm. we brought it over to the mass produced world. And it's a cool deal. It performs different, better, adds some sensitivity to it. It's a cool deal. But
nice rod.
Nice rods. So that was my flipping rods. I also have a frog rod, a cranking rod, what we have here, composite cranking rod. And I also have a 7-foot all-around rod. 7-foot, it's like a medium action, all-around, small top, all the small spinner baits, rattle traps, jerk baits. Etc. So that's my project I've been on.
Awesome. So this is Deuce Rods, Cliff Crochet series of rods. Where can they get these rods?
Right now, best place to get them is probably DeuceRods.com. Okay. We're working on a couple of things. We have some mom and pop stores all around the country.
Yep.
We're working on some bigger places. But Deuce Rods is the best place to get them right now.
Awesome. DeuceRods.com?
DeuceRods.com.
Awesome. We'll go check them out. And on your new Deuce Rod, Cliff Crochet Series cranking rod, you're going to be cranking a wake bait?
I will be cranking. I will be cranking a wake bait. This is a bait we have from Lucky Strike. It's a Cajun wake. And what it is...
Cajun wake.
Cajun wake. It's similar
to... It's on the table, Brian. You know who it belongs to now.
You don't think Brian would try to misplace your baits?
He's got a whole stack of baits up in the corner of his room right now.
This bait is it's real similar, like a -1 type bait. It's a weight bait. The thing that makes this one different is to me is the amount of water it pushes. So as you wake in it, it makes a big V and it just pushes a whole lot more water. It's a lot more active. It's real active. It almost rotates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got good hooks on it too. It rotates real good. It pushes a lot of water, and you can feel it real good, almost like a big spinner bait. It makes that much commotion.
It's got a big thump.
It's got a big rattle in it. So that whole time it's making noise. And it's considered a wake bait because you can wake it. But another way I like to fish is to drop that rod tip and reel it, and you can get it down about a foot and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And just cover a lot of water, move a lot of water, and it, you get bites. One of the good things I like about that bait is it won't blow out on you. You can crank it real fast.
All right.
So you got a bait, you're fishing it real fast, you're moving a lot of water, get a lot of bites. You get a lot of bites you wouldn't get on other baits. It's kind of like bulging a spinner bait,
mm-hmm.
but with a lot of vibration.
Yeah. Best time of year if you want to start learning how to fish a wake bait, best time of year to start working a wake bait.
I'm going post-spawn.
Post-spawn.
Post-spawn. You got fry garters. Mm-hmm. You got grass. That's a real good bait above grass. The biggest post-spawn, but the biggest key, the best advice I can give you about throwing this bait is fish it. Fish it fast.
Fish it fast.
As fast as you can reel it for those conditions. And again, let the fish talk to you. You know, you want to let the fish tell you how fast they want it. But an aggressive retrieve seems really important with this bait.
Awesome. Awesome. I love fishing a wake bait. It's a visual thing a lot of times. You can see the strikes happen. Water flies a lot of times. It's an awesome way to fish. It's like top water, but it's more of cranking style. It's a really cool thing if you've not played with a wake bait. It's a lot of fun.
It's an exciting way to fish. I would tell you this. We're talking about rods. I throw this on a composite rod, real soft.
Mm-hmm.
Real soft, and I also throw it on monofilament because I'm moving so fast with it. Treble hooks. As I'm ready, that fish will come up and bite it. I want it, and it's visual.
Yeah.
So you need a delay.
You need some
you
help.
You need some delay because you want to jerk as fast as you can. Between the softness of the composite rod and the give of the monofilament with the treble hooks, that's all aimed towards that delay to let that fish get hooked real good.
Excellent. This is called the Cajun Wake by Lucky Strike. Check it out. That's Cliff's new wake bait. It's his new cranking rod. Come on out. If you live in my neighborhood, come out and see him weigh in down at the Chesapeake. I'm gonna stalk that patch of reeds and see if you fish it while you're
just
up
think
there.
About this. Catch a good one off the on a rising tide. I catch a couple good ones on the reeds. Falling tide, I go out to the flats, find me some submerged grass, throw a wake bait over submerged grass.
Hey, now.
Don't answer me because I don't want to violate the rules on the Elite Series.
Sounds like a good
plan.
But
could that be the plan?
Man, that's a solid tidal water strategy.
Hard stuff, soft stuff.
Yeah, taking advantage. Yeah, you know the tides. You're a tidal water guy. You're going to crush it out there. I hope you do. You know?
I hope so, too.
Yeah. Bernie Schultz sat in your seat just a minute ago. He had a top five. You know he had a top five in that tournament?
And burnt. No gas.
I was about to say that, but I'm glad you said that. I'm thinking that might be information, so I'm glad you said that.
No, I will tell you this, but last time we were at Chesapeake, you know, the Northeast River.
Yeah.
Or whatever, that section, town of Northeast, or Northeast River, whatever that bay is known. The flats were off. And I don't think very many people had knowledge of the whole Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah.
So I know I did. I kind of punted and stayed close where I knew they lived. Now we're going down further out of the bay. I'm not sure what town. What are we going out of?
I'm not sure either.
A little bit further down.
20 miles down the bay a little bit.
So I think that'll open some stuff up to maybe some water that hadn't been fished last year. Yeah. So it'll be fun to watch.
Well, I hope you crush them.
Me too.
Man, thanks for coming. Thanks for watching, guys. We're going to be right back with some new stuff. BTC, who we got coming up next?
We've got Jeremy Lawyer.
Jeremy Lawyer.
From the FLW with all kinds of goodies.
Oh, kind of. Free entry?
Free entry.
Into the next FLW tournament series?
Free entries.
All Bass University.
Yep. Free Wi-Fi at next year's ICAST.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, look forward to that. And we'll be right back. More Bass University TV Live. If you haven't subscribed, go to bassu.tv, subscribe. We're going to give you some baits. Go to Deuce Rods, get some rods. Check out the Lucky Strike weight bait. We'll be right back.